Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in 20 minutes. Little update, though. We asked Vinny about the Tyson Paul fight, and anybody that tried to watch it Friday all knows that Netflix had buffering issues and stuff like that. We have our first class action lawsuit. This is coming from Daniel Wallach. He's a sports attorney in Florida, I believe. A class action lawsuit for unfair business practices has been filed against Netflix in a Florida state court over its streaming of the Jake Paul Tyson fight. Restitution sought for every customer impacted by buffering issues. The complaint, there's a few sentences I'll read just because I enjoyed
sure.
it. It said, 60 million Americans were hyped to see Iron Mike Tyson, the baddest man on the planet, versus YouTuber turned prize fighter Jake Paul. What they saw was the baddest streaming on the planet. Netflix delivered the first punch of the night to its customers with unrelenting buffering.
Do we need to go back on one of those websites you said where like we can look up all the active class action suits?
I got paid out a class action lawsuit the other week.
Wait, for what?
It was for Spirit Airlines.
The one that just went bankrupt?
No, they're filing for bankruptcy. No, the class action was involving baggage fees. I got I got $55 back in that. I filed it like a year and a half ago, and then randomly I got a Venmo from... That's how they do most of the class actions
now. I saw there was like a big one for Visa and MasterCard for ATM fees.
Mm-hmm. It depends. That one's more of a merchant one, I think, than a consumer.
Okay.
But yes, no, there's a website you can go, and you can see what see if you qualify for any of the current ongoing class actions, man.
Just get a little taste of that money. And I'm still waiting on that Top Shot money.
I did that one as well. And randomly one day in the next 3 months, randomly you're going to get, if you selected Venmo, randomly you'll get a Venmo payout settlement for, $17 or something,
That's what I selected. Will they even get the email, or one day I'll just discover
you'll get a Venmo and it'll say payment settlement amount and you'll get it sent to your Venmo account. That's how they do a lot of the class actions now.
Mm-hmm.
It's right to your Venmo.
Well, it must be nice for Venmo. A little more action on their side.
Sure.
But it's also easier for me. I don't want a Visa gift card with $17
on it. Bingo.
What a nightmare that is.
Exactly.
That's just like the worst case scenario.
Hey, how's your neck feeling? For those just joining us, Cody unfortunately got in a car accident. He seems to be doing all right. Somebody rear-ended him this morning in his brand new car.
My 2024 Volkswagen Tiguan. I got asked by a student yesterday. He said, do you actually drive that car? I said, yes, it's my actual car. I bought it with my real money. It's the first brand new car I've ever owned. And now it's dented. And so I got to go get it repaired, presumably.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it sucked. I don't know. My neck still feels a little stiff. Other than that,
I think tomorrow morning,
I'm going to hurt a little
tomorrow
worse.
Morning, you're going to wake up. You're going to be sore tomorrow.
That man was driving a Chevy 2500.
How fast do you think he was going? Like when he rear-ended you? Was he wasn't. Clearly, thank goodness he was.
20? He hit me pretty good.
Yeah.
It came with a little force.
Thank goodness he wasn't going. I mean, if 50. Highway speeds were having it. If you're not here today, man, you're in the hospital right now but still,
I had that
man,
brief moment of like, I think anytime something like that happens, you just feel like calling the day it quits. Like I got hit and I sat in the car for a second and I was about to be like, I'm just going to tell Alex I won't be there today.
I would have understood.
I'm going to turn my ass around.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go home. You ever just feel like this day's a loss?
Luckily your car was drivable.
It's just an L. So I'm just going to take the L.
I would have totally understood. And if your car wasn't drivable, then I would have fully expected you to be like, all right, I'm punting on the entire day. I can't even drive to work kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like if your car was...
Oh, if it was like total, I definitely wouldn't have been there.
I'm out.
If they're towing it, I'll be like, they're taking my ass home and I won't see y'all till tomorrow. Yeah, it's different. We'll see how it goes. I'll see how I feel in the morning. I don't want to make judgments yet. Go ahead. I was going to say, some people might describe Patrick Mahomes' season as a car crash. That I wouldn't. But I certainly think the national pundits do. You saw a stat, and then the other thing stood out to me. So first tell me a stat, and then I'm going to tell you what I think is happening.
I saw this circulating from two or three of those, basically national sports aggregator type of accounts. And I roll my eyes almost as I'm saying that, because some of them get to be a little ridiculous. But what was circulating yesterday is that Patrick Mahomes is on pace to be the first player in NFL history to win NFL MVP, Super Bowl MVP, and then lead the NFL in interceptions in a season. He's right now tied for the NFL lead with 11 interceptions. One, that's just such a weird stat because, of course, she would have had to of one MVP and sure. Super Bowl to even qualify. Like, there's nobody else that's even in
so
contention.
So you're already, like, I don't know, 15 quarterbacks or something, 20 quarterbacks in the NFL history.
And look, he's tied with Jordan Love, Geno Smith for 11 picks. Sam Darnold has 10. Then Kirk Cousins, Goff, Mayfield, Minshew all have 9. When we remind you, Jordan Love missed a game or two and still is tied for 11 picks. So this narrative that, like, Mahomes is, like, for sure going to finish with the most interceptions this year, I also just don't think that'll be the end result. Like, I'm willing to bet Patrick Mahomes will not end up with the most picks in the NFL this year. But that just tells you what the narrative is around him. He obviously has not had a great season. Duh. We've all watched these games. But I also think any stat, like, this is a very weird, like, it's a made-up stat is what this one is. Like, we're truly just making something up. Uh-huh. The first MVP winner, first Super Bowl winner to have the lead league in interceptions.
Did it even say how many of people have done that? How many quarterbacks ever?
He'd be the first.
No, have won an MVP and a Super Bowl.
That are actively playing?
Yeah.
Nobody else, right?
Oh, nobody else who's actively playing.
Yeah.
Rodgers, I guess.
He's won an MVP and played a Super Bowl.
Actively playing. 8 quarterbacks in the NFL history have won the Super Bowl and the league MVP in the same season. That's what they're talking about, right? Somebody who won both the year before and then went on to lead the league in interceptions. 8? That's the sample size you're giving me? One was some dude named Mark Moseley. I don't even know who that is. Apparently, player in 1982. Kurt Warner, Brett Favre, Steve Young, Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana. Do you have any more interceptions Terry Bradshaw threw in his career than Patrick Mahomes? I don't care if he leads. What I think is happening here is they're taking this stat to extrapolate the thing that we all know. If Patrick Mahomes loses anywhere, AFC title game or earlier in the postseason, this will be the single worst season of Patrick Mahomes' career. That's what's happening here. We all know it. We all know that if he loses in the AFC title game or earlier, this will be the single worst season Patrick Mahomes has ever had as a pro. And that'll be the story going into next year. That'll be the story the rest of this season. And it's not wrong. That is not an incorrect thing. This is the single worst season Patrick Mahomes has had in his career. So far, we're 10 games into this thing. Do you think I'm willing to just write that off with 7 more regular season games to go, 3 or more of postseason games to go? Because I'll just tell you right now, I do not care what his regular season stats finish. If the man ends up winning the Super Bowl, then I won't care that it's his single worst statistical season, right. Because it's not his worst season on record. That'll have to go to one of the other seasons where he didn't win the whole thing. I think that's what's happening here. They're looking for some weird stat to tell you what you already know. Mahomes is having a bad year. And I don't think that's a mystery. But I also don't think that it means his year never gets better.
No, I mean, honestly, guys, like there's a chance he finishes, of course, towards bottom 3 in picks this season. Do you guys actually think when the season's done, he will have the most interceptions in the league?
No.
I just don't. I think he's just going to figure it out a little bit, and that's what he's always done. The other part of it is, look at the other quarterbacks that I mentioned. You know, Jordan Love, as I said, has the same amount of picks. He's played in less games, which tells you he's obviously throwing at a greater pace of interception than Mahomes. And some of the other, like, Gardner Minshew is only 2 off. Do I think Gardner Minshew is going to make it through the entire season without throwing another 8? You know, I honestly think Gardner Minshew might throw another 7 interceptions this year.
Yeah. I mean, and you mentioned Jordan Love. He's done it 2 less games. Like, I just don't think that those things are going to make a massive difference. Like, I just don't. Like, I know that it's maybe just the way it looks or this way. Like, I don't care. And I don't, like, the last interception of the game. Does that interception actually matter towards his count?
For this conversation, it does, but I hear you.
But yeah, does it technically count? Yeah. Are all interceptions created equal? Nah, he's down 2 scores with a minute to go. So yeah, I assume a lot of quarterbacks will throw picks there because it's 4th and 13 and they'll do anything to keep the football alive. Fine, I don't care, whatever. Like, if they were down 3 and there was a minute to go, different conversation. Down 9 with 2 minutes to go on 4th and 13, I'd rather you throw a pick there than an incompletion or anything else. And so, no, I'm not going to, like, freak out or panic or worry on those things in any conceivable way. I think that it's fine. I think that everybody is comfortable based on that. But I also just think it's the obvious. He's having a terrible... I felt like... I started saying I'm, like, too strong. He's having the worst season of his career to date.
Well, and isn't, I guess... Even if he was playing great, if they get beat in the divisional round, isn't that technically the worst season that he's... Because I think that, you know, from a statistical standpoint, you can say one thing, but I think Patrick Mahomes would say if he had 50 touchdowns and 5 picks, but they lose in the divisional round, it's the worst season of his career because they lost in the divisional round. So in the end, I think it all comes back to that. Or like last year. Last year might have been, I don't know if it was the most satisfying Super Bowl win, but to go through all of that, to push through all the adversity and still be able to win it, that might even be more satisfying than one of the other
teams. That's why last year's was so satisfying. And they were 11-6. It was their worst record. Everyone was burying them. He had to go on the road, all the things Vinny said, and then still went on to win the Super Bowl. Like, this season will get what? You will never be able to cite a single regular season stat to me ever again if he wins the Super Bowl this year. I won't care.
I'm kind of
45 interception. I'd be like, well, okay.
I'm kind of already there because we already saw that he was in the offensive line, was able to flip a switch a year ago. Suddenly they didn't turn the ball over. Suddenly the O-line was the best they've been last year in the postseason run. So yeah, I have that. That's also why nobody should be panicking. There are issues with this team. Of course there are. We discussed those yesterday. But this team has shown us with very similar personnel, the exact same coaching staff, that they've been able to figure that out. Now, one quarterback has been even more surprising this year than maybe Patrick Mahomes' interception numbers or whatever. That's Bo Nix out in Denver in the AFC West. But real quick, you got an update on something?
Yeah, Adam Schefter, they found a new person to fire in New York.
Who's Aaron Rodgers blaming now?
Aaron Rodgers has found a new person to fire in New York, according to Adam Schefter. More change in New York. The Jets have now fired their general manager, Joe Douglas.
He wasn't really the GM.
Last
that was Aaron
month,
Rodgers.
Head coach Robert Saleh. Now Joe Douglas, the reboot for the Jets is underway.
If you're firing the GM now as well, you really should cut Aaron Rodgers in the offseason. Like, you reboot the whole thing.
Just start the whole franchise over. Right?
Yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, this is not even like the normal, like, hey, everybody wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Like, truly, it makes no sense not to cut him, guys, like, in the offseason.
Other than you have to eat $60 million, but who cares? I mean, you're not going to be good.
Another GM and another head coach are going to step in there, and they're going to inherit Aaron Rodgers for 1 year. Why? Aaron Rodgers is clearly running the show. I'm not even joking. He really is like the GM now. There's nobody left. He is running that organization.
It is impressive to cut a wide receiver, get the head coach fired, get the general manager fired in the middle of a horrid season. The only thing that makes me a little sad is Vinny, our NFL insider, wasn't on the air, so we could ask him about this. But I mean, unbelievable how many times this continues to be the case. Over on Twitch, ZM Lopez asked, he said, bigger detriment to their team, Jerry Jones or Aaron Rodgers? You're like,
it's a great question. Jerry Jones still, because Jerry Jones is going to be there for, you know, has already been there for 30 years. But I get the question. They're both the disaster for their franchise.
For this season, I think it might be Aaron Rodgers. But Jerry Jones gets the benefit of like a time on that one. I told you, if I were the Jets, I would pay for Aaron Rodgers' next darkness retreat. I would pay for all of his ayahuasca, and I would try to convince him in some other drug-addled vision quest that he should quit football. I'm just going to pray that this time when the demons speak to him, they say to retire. Like, that's all I got. Because other than that, I'm going to do exactly what you said, Gold. I'm just going to pay the man to leave forever. That franchise sold everything in their possession. They sold the furniture in their house. They sold the food. They sold their whole life for Aaron Rodgers to try to take one season and make one Super Bowl run happen in a 2-year time span, maybe a 3-year time span. And it went backwards. They were better with Sam Darnold.
Yeah. 913-586-7965. Someone from the 913 says, why is a KC station so obsessed with the Jets quarterback? Thanks for the update. Literally breaking news in the NFL in the last 3 minutes, man. We do this with any update. If any other team fired their GM or head coach, I can promise you we would break in. Why are we telling you? Because it just happened. An NFL team fired their GM on November 19th, and they already fired their head coach. Yeah, we are going to talk about
Vinny
that.
Vinny just texted me. He said, did he? By the way, Joe Douglas got fired. Like, I saw it, Vinny.
Yeah.
Your poor team's got to start fresh. Hey, Vinny, can we just get like a 60-second recorded message on your thoughts on Joe Douglas? Getting canned.
He was something like 30-54 or something as a GM, and he was in the final year of his contract. They were going to probably fire him at the end of the year. It's kind of, I guess you get a head start on it, but
if this is always the question, I would say, like, because Matt Nagy's going to come up in job searches again, I think, even though, like, I know people in Kansas City don't think he will. He just will, because that's the way the NFL works. Is the Jets a desirable job in any capacity?
Man.
Breece Hall, Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson. Like, there are some, like, talented elements of that team that makes it tempting. Bad ownership. Never been a good franchise, and no quarterback feels like a big, big problem.
Well, think about the
feels like a big problem.
Potential openings that we know some for a fact, right? We don't know if the Raiders. I think the Raiders is going to open up, but we know for a fact the Saints and the Jets have openings already, and we all think Jacksonville is going to also open up. The Giants is up in the air. Like they've said, basically the next couple weeks is going to decide Brian Daboll's future. Who am I missing?
Maybe
here?
Chicago.
Chicago's definitely, I think, going to open up at the end of this
maybe
season.
Maybe Cincinnati.
Maybe, right? Maybe. The Giants, if it opens up and since he doesn't open up, the Giants are actually the best spot. They will have a top pick to go get a quarterback. They have a really good defensive line. They already have Malik Nabers. Their running back, Tyrone Tracy, the young kid, is pretty darn good. Way better. The Jets would be towards the bottom of the list. Jacksonville depends on your belief in Trevor Lawrence. Like they're not moving on from Trevor Lawrence. They just gave him a contract. So
a lot of teams
you're inheriting Trevor Lawrence. You're also in a division that's not that daunting.
You have a really good wide receiver in
versus
Brian Thomas.
The Jets job, you said it, Cody, the money that's tied up. You have the New York market, which isn't going to be right for everybody with the media attention. And that division, you're dealing with Josh Allen for another decade. So I don't like that. I think the Giants job between the two New York jobs is worlds better if it opens up.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have that one too. I think a lot of teams will convince themselves that Trevor Lawrence is just being held back. There's still like the talent level there. You know, the people will just like talk themselves back into it. I've never been a big Trevor Lawrence believer. I think he's fine. I think he's like a league average quarterback of the ilk.
He's been hurt a lot this year.
Yeah, but also like even before then, Gold can attest. We've been doing the show 5 years. Have I ever once been like, wow, look at Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you haven't been a believer. That's true.
Yeah. And so like it's just one of those quarterbacks where I'm like, I think with right coaching and a good team around him, Trevor Lawrence is a perfectly fine league average Derek Carr level quarterback. But because it all looks so pretty, you can't like overlook it. It's like the really beautiful car with engine problems. It's like the throw, it looks super nice. The throws are good. He's the right size. All the motions are correct. His footwork, like all the things that are supposed to be good about quarterbacks, he does.
But it's a lemon.
But there's like, yeah, there's like something wrong in the engine. Like under the hood, there's a problem. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But like there's some functional part of it that just doesn't work. So yeah, that is not a job I would be like.
So again, if you're just joining us, the news out of New York that according to Adam Schefter, the Jets have fired their general manager, Joe Douglas. So new head coach, new general manager, guaranteed maybe a new quarterback next year for the Jets as well. We were talking about a quarterback before that news came out, Bo Nix. We were starting our conversation about him because what he's done, I think, has been surprising for a lot of people. I mean, he's getting better, too, each week. I think it's very fair to say. Sean Payton, I saw a quote this morning out in Denver that he's been impressed with how quickly he's already adapted to the league, and I think that's very fair to say. And Sean Payton does deserve credit for that as well. Like, if you're just box scoring it, Bo Nix, 2,200 yards, 14 touchdowns, 6 picks. But I think more impressively, we saw it firsthand here in Kansas City 2 weeks ago. He does look poised. He doesn't look like he's fazed by the pressure and the talent that exists on defensive units in the NFL. And then he's also coming off the game against the Falcons where he threw 4 touchdowns, no picks, 307 yards, and a 38-6 win. He looks like he's getting better week to week. But I still think, like, if you're looking at this from a Chiefs fan perspective for the division, what does this mean for the future? I'm with you that they have their quarterback for the foreseeable future there, but he still doesn't have the ceiling as a lot of the other names that would, to me, threaten you for
supremacy,
championships, and things like that. Sure. His ceiling to me is still not anywhere near Jaden Daniels, and yes, still not near Caleb Williams, even though he, of course, is having a much better year than Caleb Williams. That was the thing the whole time with Bo Nix coming out of college, is that his floor is higher, ceiling lower. Now, maybe we need to adjust. Maybe the ceiling is higher if he keeps getting better. We'll see. I don't think so, especially given his age. What we're seeing is a guy that's played a ton of football adapting quicker than guys that haven't. So I just think we're seeing the ceiling being much higher than all these other guys. That's the good thing as a Chiefs fan. Bo Nix in your division for the next 7 years, 10 years, if that's the case, it's not the same as having Josh Allen or Lamar or Burrow in your division. You're fine.
I will say he's got, I would say, a much better chance than he did a month ago to get Offensive Rookie of the Year. That's not like it was a Jaden Daniels lock there for a little while, right? Agreed. I mean, that's at least what it felt like for a little while. I would say that he is entered the conversation. Look, his season-long stats are still not eye-popping. 14 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 2,200 yards. That's not like, oh, wow, look, he's an unstoppable force.
Sure.
But he, like, the only hang-up I have is they have the league's best offensive line pass blocking-wise. And I think that if you ever, like, pay attention to, and this is, like, a really niche thing on social media that has always been really funny to follow with Computer Cowboy. He's a guy over on Twitch.
Who?
It doesn't matter. He does analytics-based stuff for ESPN in The Ringer. He has consistently had a... He has consistently had a chart of pass block win rate according to Pro Football Focus and the passer rating associated with Jared Goff and Matt Stafford. And it is directly correlated. I mean, like, every time Stafford doesn't have a good offensive line, he stinks. Every time Goff doesn't have a good offensive line, he stinks. When they have good offensive lines, they're great. They are identical quarterbacks, and the only thing that seems to matter is how good is their offensive line performance-wise, according to Pro Football Focus.
I hear you, but they don't, I could be wrong. I don't think they have an old offensive line. Like,
they don't.
Quinn Meinerz, they just signed to a new deal. That's your right guard. He's not going anywhere. They have Garrett Bowles, who's one of the best tackles in football. He's my understanding under contract, I think, for another couple of years. Like, Mike McGlinchey is
just
older, but not old. Like, I think they have a pretty good base there for the next 3 years on their offensive line, at least.
I just think it's easy to look.
McGlinchey's 29.
I just think it's easy to look capable. Like, to have Derek Carr's had a 4-touchdown, 300-yard game. I think it's easy to look like that when the offensive line is really good. So I'm still with you. I still believe Bo Nix has a cap. And I think sometimes he's hitting this rookie cap because the offensive line is so good, he is able to do it. But it's hard to not look at him and be like, that guy's got some of the goods. Like, he is not a bust.
Mm-hmm, for
sure. Broncos did not draft a bust. They took a quarterback who's going to start in the NFL for some time. You're right, is if it ends up being like a Derek Carr level, who cares? Who cares? Okay, go on about your business having the 11th best quarterback. That is not something that fears us. What you are right is fearing like Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, or even like to the point of like Jalen Hurts or these other guys end up in your division.
Trash of the day.
All right, we're going to Peru for this one.
Oh, okay. A little international trash.
Yeah, let's head south a little bit. Airport security allegedly caught a man who was attempting to smuggle some things.
Is this like a...
It's a couple things.
Okay.
300 tarantulas.
Ooh, what?
And over 100 centipedes. He strapped them to his body. Which,
that's a risky thing. Yeah. One trip and fall, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One trip and fall and you're just covered in tarantulas?
Yeah. At security, thought something suspicious was going on. They noticed a 28-year-old South Korean passenger had an unusually swollen stomach. Man, your stomach looks a little more puffed than it should be, you know? It was observed the citizen had placed these specimens in small Ziploc bags with filter paper. They were placed around his body. And the total number ended up being 320 tarantulas, 35 of which were the size of a human hand.
No, I'm not even afraid of spiders. That's too big.
110 centipedes and 9 bullet ants. I'm not familiar with those.
Don't know what a bullet ant is.
I need to Google that. These insects are smuggled and sold for high prices as exotic pets. The trade overall generates millions of dollars for smugglers around the world. He was arrested. The insects were reportedly placed into safe hands.
Apparently, the bullet ants are known for their incredibly painful sting.
This guy's got it wrapped all around his body. I mean, whew.
I'm sorry. Like, who are all of the people that are buying up black market tarantulas? Are there a lot of you who want to own a tarantula in your house? My son's SAGE program, he got accepted to the gifted program.
Yep.
His class has a tarantula, like a pet one in the class. And so, like, I guess, I don't think they bought it off the black market. But, like, why is there such a large black market to the point that this man felt like strapping 300 tarantulas to his body, and they said 35 of which were the size of a human hand.
Yes.
Boy, I tell you right now, there ain't no way anybody, you had to rock, paper, scissors for the person who had to, like, confiscate all that. That might be the worst thing to have to confiscate ever if you were, like, a border agent.
I'm sure they see some weird stuff, man.
That's got to be the weirdest. That's got to be the one you tell at the party first.
That one's up there. I bet you they. I mean, we've had these trash of the days with other people smuggling stuff, but this one, the amount of tarantulas is what's wild.
And they're all 300? Like 35, you said, as big as your hand. I mean, just thinking, that's
yeah. And no wonder they found him. Dude, you should maybe half that? I don't know. That's too many. You were always...
Yeah, can you smuggle 5 or 10 of them? 300? No
chance.
Is it
not worth the dollar amount? Unless
I'm sure.
You get a
it's
lot?
Not worth the risk, right?
Yeah.
By the way, whether you have 300 or 20, you're getting the same punishment
honest,
of a tarantula
if
smuggling, aren't you?
But like, at that point, are 300 tarantulas worth just more like trying to get like cocaine through? Like, at some point, isn't there a cost-benefit analysis of getting caught and maybe just don't strap 300 tarantulas to your body?
I don't know.
You're saying this person should have had that conversation with themselves.
I don't know. Yes. My guess is, and I could be way off, there are different levels, Cody. Smuggling insects versus smuggling cocaine
probably
carries a different sentence.
That's fair.
You know?
I'm just saying run the cost-benefit analysis. That's
one has more of a detrimental effect on society than the other.
I don't know, man. Like, sometimes the animal smuggling's a problem because it has, like, ecological impact.
Sure, but I mean, if you're smuggling fentanyl, there's obviously way more potential to cause harm in the United States than you smuggling tarantulas into the United States.
This was during the flight, or this was before the flight took off?
Security, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Going through TSA.
No, he didn't make it on the plane, I don't think. Oh, actually, you know what, Drew? It was a South Korean passenger in Peru. I don't know if the flight came from South Korea, though.
Can you imagine if they'd have found, like, on the plane, they'd have had it? If you're on the plane as well, like...
People said bullet ants have the highest pain level of anything on the sting index.
Like, would you just pass out from the pain?
I mean, it sounds like it,
Just pass out. Bullet ants.
It doesn't sound good.
No?
Crazy.
Someone says cocaine sounds more fun. Spiders. Can you attest to that?
I can't speak to that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
The way we were talking about it, Cody, I don't know.
Can't speak to that. Never done cocaine.
Up next, we'll head to the Chiefs for a half hour and talk about a move that I think has no impact this year, but could be interesting in the offseason.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And we'll explain what that is.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Tuesday. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965.
Anyone's got a good body shop, I guess let me know. I'll be there soon. If you missed it earlier, someone rear-ended me on the way into work.
Not fun. Not good.
When was the last time you were in a car accident?
Oh, I hate this conversation.
Because you feel like it's a jinx?
Yeah, absolutely.
I asked after I got in one.
Yeah, now I think you're good for the rest of your life, possibly. Yeah. Like,
dude, I haven't been in 15 years.
This is such a jinx
Just keep it at 10-2 today, Gold. Both hands on the wheel.
I have never been in one, so that's why I don't. Oh. That's why I said I don't want. This is why I did not want to talk about it.
Oh, I see.
Did not want to talk about this at all.
Yeah, yours feels like we're talking about you having a no hitter. It's more. Feels more
good
of a jinx
today.
Than ours.
Yeah. Driving home.
He's gonna drive home careful.
Yeah, this is why I didn't. Safe. That's why I was hesitant to answer the question.
That's fair.
Coming up a little bit later on today, Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, going to join us in studio, and we'll check in with him and see if he agrees with us on what happened yesterday, which was a signing of former Patriots wide receiver Tyquan Thornton to the Chiefs practice squad. You're like, why are you even talking about this? Here's the thing with it. He's a former second-round pick who got waived over the weekend by the Patriots, so the Chiefs bring him in. This very much feels like, all right, we're going to bring you in, learn the offense, put us in position maybe to have you, might as well sign back with us in the offseason and then come to training camp. We've already discovered who the new fan favorite Justin Ross of training camp next year is going to be. It's going to be Tyquan Thornton. Is he not? It feels like this is exactly who he's going to be. He's a failed second round pick. They bring him in here.
Three picks ahead of Sky Moore. They're the same
player. He was. Yep. But he's not their player, you know? And so next training camp, he'll be a body to have around and see as he can be the team's fifth receiver next year. That's all this is.
Like, I want to try to like make this a grander point. It's probably better for radio if I'm like, Tyquan Thornton's going to be the difference between them winning or losing a Super Bowl this year. Get out of here. He was, honest to God, is there any way that I can get the two wide receivers taken in between Tyquan Thornton and Sky Moore? Because then I do think that wide receiver would make the difference between doing that. If you didn't know, Tyquan Thornton was taken, then George Pickens was taken, then Alec Pierce was taken, and then Sky Moore was taken. Four out of five picks. Those guys were all sandwiched together in the second round 3 years ago. So yeah, I would prefer the other two guys in the middle. This is a long shot. This is a, we don't want to take any more time with our project, Sky Moore, who has less catches this season than Mike Caliendo and Wanya Morris. And instead, we'd rather spend, I know.
Only Andy would have, only Andy outside of the red zone would draw up a play that might result in the backup the guard, Mike Caliendo getting a catch.
So those two men have more catches this year than Sky Moore. Sky Moore had that one drop in week one, they never threw to him again. And so week two, whatever it was, they never threw to him again. And so he's just a different project. I view this as Jonathan Sanchez or Jonathan Baldwin for who was in that trade? Where they just like traded scrapped wide receivers for each other.
Oh, with the 49ers?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was another receiver, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just like
oh my gosh,
know,
who the hell was that?
Oh God, Somebody help me out. This was a perfect example if I could have remembered. I thought I would be able to come up with it as I spoke. I thought, A.J. Jenkins.
There you go.
This is Jonathan Baldwin for A.J. Jenkins. Will it essentially amount to anything? Probably not. He is a warm body to have at training camp who is not Sky Moore. Taken at the same time, taken in the second round with equally disappointing careers. He's just a different person. He's also a different body type. He's more the style of Chris Conley's kind of longer, leaner, taller.
6'2", right?
Yeah. Presents a different look than Sky Moore. He's just a different project. Do I actually think Tyquan Thornton? I wouldn't even bet on him playing a snap for the Chiefs in his career.
That's why I was joking. Like we already know who next year at training camp people will try to overly talk about for no reason.
That's all. It's just like I wanted to make a grander point. I was trying to think if there. He's a camp body for next year.
I'm just waiting for them to sign a left tackle. That's what I want. Okay.
Yeah. Where's that move at?
Donovan Smith. Sign a left tackle, please, to back up Wanya Morris, and maybe if they have to, start over Wanya Morris at some point. That's all. Is there anything else you want to hear as a Chiefs fan this entire week?
No. Nate Taylor's coming in at 2. I'd like him today at 1 say they're signing Donovan Smith.
The next time we're on the air and we're in the middle of a conversation and one of us interrupts the other to be like, hey, there's a little bit of breaking news like we just did 20 minutes ago for the GM news in New York. The next time we do that, I want it to be because Nate Taylor or Jordan Schultz or Adam Schefter is reporting that the Chiefs are signing Donovan Smith. That's not happening right now. I want that to be the case. That's what I want to have happen.
Of course. Yeah, don't make it seem like you just tuned in and you're like, what?
No, they did not sign.
Alex wants to say that sentence sometime this week for the Chiefs, and yeah. So do I. They're, like, the second, Driscoll, again, an undrafted free agent rookie, was your active backup tackle, I'm terrified from a player who left the game for two quarters the week before. No, I do not feel comfortable with their current. And I'll just be honest. One is not playing well enough that I would say like he deserves no competition for the job. I'm not saying just give it to Donovan Smith. I would definitely put those two against each other and tell me who does a better job, but I wouldn't just rule it out either. And that's really what this comes down to. Tyquan Thornton's just another wide receiver that they're like, they got to draft a guy too anyway, but their problem is they need to draft defensive line and offensive tackle and wide receiver. That's like the three biggest needs. So like somewhere you're going to have to find either a cheap wide receiver that works, a cheap tackle that works, or a cheap defensive lineman that works inside your system. Because just as a reminder, Turk Warden has been good for you on the last year of his deal. So you can't necessarily just pencil that in. George Karlaftis will be in the last year of his deal next year. And so like you have to draft really well the next couple of years to cover some of these, or you're going to have to find hidden gems in Tyquan Thornton who produce for you.
To what you guys want, if Donovan Smith isn't an option, but Bakhtiari you knew could be here today, would you sign David Bakhtiari?
Either at this point. At this point,
I would sign any free agent.
I would prefer Donovan Smith because he's already knows the offense, of course. But yeah, either one. Like you have to have some depth behind Wanya. You just have to. It's not even so much like, well, if he gets hurt, they'll sign him the next week. No, my fear is it's the playoffs and you don't have a backup and it's the second half of the AFC title game and you don't have anybody
don't
to come in.
Ethan Driscoll?
No.
From Marshall?
I don't because I haven't seen the guy play. He hasn't played in the NFL. I mean,
How many snaps is he behind the two guys who we don't think are playing good football right now. So, like, I'm not saying the third guy down isn't ever better than the first two, but it's not. It's concerning.
Doesn't normally happen.
That he didn't beat out either of them. Like, it's hard for me to imagine a world in which that is an improvement of player. If you could go back, if they went back in time and they knew that Kingsley had won, like, if they knew Kingsley was, like, that bad as a backup, do you think they would have traded for one? Do you think they would have traded for a left tackle
during the offseason?
No, at the deadline.
Okay.
Do you think they would have added depth then?
No, because they knew already.
I mean, they must have known. But they didn't think, like, Kingsley hadn't really been on the field in a while.
Tackle's not a position. There's one example this year, and I'll explain why it's not realistic for the Chiefs, but you don't really trade for tackles midseason. I mean, how often you see that? We saw one this year because the Jags traded their left tackle, Robinson, to the Vikings because the Vikings starting left tackle, Darius Shaw, is out for the year. And they're eating a ton of money to do that. The Chiefs were never in a position to do it. That was the one time. Other than that, tackles usually do not get traded midseason. It just usually doesn't happen.
I just think they're going to just, like, pay T. Higgins' price or something. Like, they're just going to solve their problem. One of their problems they're going to try to solve in free agency.
Well, next offseason or this coming offseason, I think they'll have to replicate what, if they can find it, what they did with Orlando Brown Jr. Where they trade with Baltimore, a team that has someone that's playing a position they don't like to play, someone that's the final year of their rookie deal, whatever it may be, where you need a stopgap for a year or two and you can trade. Well, exactly what they did with Orlando Brown Jr., they almost need to replicate that very thing. It's tough to do in the offseason because, as you said, they're not going to be able to solve all of this in the draft in the offseason. That's an offseason conversation. I get it. But that's why the Kingsley news right now is so big. By him being as ineffective as he is and just unplayable, frankly, they told us that last week, it's creating a bunch of problems in the offseason for them.
It is. And it, like, and you can't have major holes at many positions and then feel like that's the case, because then you run into the same thing. We also know that the Bills have entered the one seed chat, which could have ended effectively had the Chiefs managed to get a win on Sunday. They didn't. Losses happen, and now they have to open this thing back up to another thing. Vinny had said he didn't think it was all that important because last year they proved that they could go to Buffalo, go to Baltimore, and go on to the Super Bowl. I think the biggest problem is what you said. Do I think they can go to Buffalo, go to Baltimore, and win a football game? Of course I do. They did that last year in the postseason with a very similar team. I think the rest thing is a very big problem. We are in year five of games piling up on Mahomes, Kelsey, DeAndre Hopkins got a really long career. You know, even guys like Pacheco, who will at least be semi-fresh, some of the offensive linemen, they've been playing 20 games a year for 3 years, most of these guys. So the bye week's importance to me is relative to the importance of if they have to play week 18. If they straight up don't have to play week 18, the bye week matters and I care about it, but less
game
than if they do have to play that game and get zero break. That's where I think you run into a problem. Its weight to me is based on if they have to play week 18, whether they got the bye or not.
Yeah, it's about the bye. You had the bye in week 6, right, for Kansas City. That is a long time to go without any sort of break, given the amount of games they are going to play and some of these guys have played in their NFL career during this current Chiefs run. And there's going to be maybe the potential to have a week 18, as you said, bye. But then if I'm not getting the bye, yeah, I get a bye week 18, but I'm playing an extra game if I think they're going to the Super Bowl. I'm playing wild card weekend again. It's not the road stuff, although, of course, I would love the game
It'd
to be
the
at
same teams,
would
probably.
Love the game to be at Arrowhead or games to be at Arrowhead. It is more about cutting one less game to get to the Super Bowl and getting the bye. That's why the number one seed is, and the odds are still out there that the Chiefs are going to be the one seed, but the next three games for each team could really swing this. San Francisco at the Rams, at Detroit for Buffalo. The Chiefs, as we know, are at Carolina this Sunday, then hosting the Raiders, hosting the Chargers. That Sunday night football game with the Chargers looks really good now, like a tough, tough game. And I think Buffalo has to absolutely drop one of theirs, maybe two, because you want to give yourself some cushion. We all know the Chiefs, of course, will have to finish with a better record than Buffalo, duh, because they lost the head-to-head.
I guess the real question you have to ask yourself is, what do you think the Bills' record is at the end of the season? What do you think the Chiefs' record is at the end of the season? You and I had both said, even if they lost to the Bills, you'd said, hey, last week we said, what do you think the Chiefs' final record is? And I, at that time, said 14-3, because at the time I was thinking the Bills' loss was a real possibility, and if not, there was at least a couple of losses there down the road. If you made me ask
still
again,
gets it done.
I still think 14-3. But that leaves the Bills with, they have to finish 13-4 or you lose the tiebreaker.
And they already have two losses.
Yep.
So that's why this stretch. I mean, they have to at least lose one of these if you're talking about the one, whether it's Detroit, the Niners, or whatever. Like, if they go undefeated during those three, then you got a problem if you're Kansas City for the number one seed.
Yes. But then if they only lose one, this is a reminder. You are banking on the Patriots finding a way to win a divisional game. Now I'll say this. The Patriots are salty. They're not like a complete pushover. They fight a little bit. Drake May's got a little bit of juice. Not a ton, but they fight a little bit. But Patriots, Jets, Patriots, dude, I kind of feel it. I honestly think for the Chiefs to get the one seed, the Bills need to lose two of the next three. Like, I think they need to lose two of the next three games because I just don't think they're losing any of those final three games. And to get to two losses, they got to lose two in the next three games. Not 2 or 3 weeks, by the way. They're on a bye. They don't play until December 1st.
Yeah, there's always a surprise. And for those that say, hey, the Chiefs, you know, have lost games like this before, the Chiefs don't lose a game and then lose one to a team like Carolina. Like, they've had the slip up against, they went to overtime.
The Raiders last year.
Yeah, or the Colts a couple years ago. Those weren't usually after losses.
And not comically bad teams, right? Usually like Panthers 6, 7, 8 win teams.
The Panthers might be the second worst team in football. I mean, honestly, I think like the Giants and Panthers might be the two worst teams.
Two-game winning streak.
And the Panthers just beat the Giants. So they're better than the Giants, I guess.
They got a two-game winning streak. You're not buying into that?
I am not. Believe it or not, I am not.
I don't remember who the other wins against. The Giants one's not particularly impressive.
New Orleans, I think.
Yes, that's correct. 23-22 Saints. And then they beat the Panthers 20-17.
The Bills have been in a position like this, I don't know, a couple years ago, where it seemed like there's a chance that they had a nice track schedule-wise, and then they end up choking it away. So I'm with you that 14, I think, is what it takes, but I still, when we talk it out, I disagree with the notion like, hey, if the Bills only lose one of the next two, then the Chiefs have to have them lose against the Patriots for one of the games. The Chiefs, let's still remember, they have to finish better than the Bills, duh. But they also still do only, like, they're not tied with them now. They still are ahead.
Yes,
like,
that
is a big deal. They're not now tied and they have to make up a game.
They need to lose the same number of games as Buffalo the rest of the season. That's why I was asking you, how many games do you think Buffalo loses the rest of the way? I think the answer is two, which means I think the Chiefs can afford two losses.
Yes.
That's what they can afford the rest of the way, in my opinion. They can afford two more losses. That's all they can give
up. I don't believe the Bills
are... Then there's no more ground to give.
I don't believe the Bills are only going to lose one more game the rest of the way. I really don't believe that.
Man, finishing 14-3 and missing out on the bye would be brutal if you're the Chiefs. Like 14-3, I mean, 99% of the time, would you say? 95% of the time, that's going to get you the bye, right? 14 wins? Like, it's hard to now because of 17-game schedule. Before, it was probably 99.9. Before, you know, because like it's the equivalent of, I guess, going 13-3 in the previous years, which wouldn't always get you the bye, but normally would.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to just look at the format kind of screwed up some of the math on this, but.
Yeah, I don't have enough of a sample size. In the new system, I would guess 14 or more wins will get you the bye 99.9 or 100% of the time. It's probably not even an example of somebody not getting a bye with that record, but.
Yeah, if you go all the way back to, you know, like 1975, it looks like 52% of the time number one seeds have won the Super Bowl in general. Of those, 25, 16. That's on the NFC side, but yeah.
But we still believe, right, that for all of those, like, these are the stats that explain the history of the NFL, that the Chiefs are somewhat immune to that, right? We all agree, like, you don't win it when you're on the cover of Madden or even the more complicated ones. You don't win it when you're the MVP. Remember how many years it had been that the regular season MVP had gone on to win the Super Bowl? Patrick Mahomes did that last year. The last one was like Kurt Warner. Maybe it was further back. You might remember. It was like forever back, that stat last year. They have been immune to the, well, when these things happen, you don't win the Super Bowl. Like when you're negative in turnover differential, the odds of you winning the Super Bowl, they combat so much of that. The career-long stats don't shake me, I think, the way that, like, again, Vinny Pasquantino was really good and on point today, I would say. He had pointed out the other part, which is like, if this were any other team, like right now, I'm dead serious. If the Chiefs are playing the way they're playing, and instead of the Chiefs who was playing this way, it was the Eagles. And this was Jalen Hurts, and they had the same record. They were 9-1, but they were winning all these like weirdo games, and they had a bad turnover differential, and their quarterback had been led the league in interceptions and all that stuff. I would be telling you Philly is somewhat fraudulent. I don't have to say that about Kansas City because they've got proof to back up the rest of it. One big question I do think remains, and we did not talk about enough yesterday, probably, is, do you think Nazi Johnson is good enough to be corner two the rest of the way? I value that game yesterday differently. I will tell you that I actually thought, and people are going to hate this, I thought Nazi Johnson played a really good game. I think what happened to him is a great quarterback and wide receiver beat him. Those two deep throws he got beat on, that was not bad coverage. That one to Amari Cooper over the shoulder, no one could guard that. That is an unguardable pass. So, like, when I watched his action in that game, I didn't think he just got cooked over and over again. I actually thought Nazi Johnson played a fine game. He got beat by a better quarterback and a good wide receiver, which is going to happen occasionally in this league. I don't think he's just going to get fried every time he steps foot on a football
field. I don't think he was terrible, but it still speaks to why it's one of the biggest concerns on this team when they lost Jalen Watson. There is a drop-off, clearly, from Watson and Nazi Johnson, because it's not just about Sunday. It's what we saw in a few of the other matchups as well. We know Trent McDuffie's going to lock down one side of the field, and he did that again. Trent McDuffie was thrown to, what, once or twice, max?
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere near him
in the game.
Same thing.
You know, like, no, I don't think Nazi Johnson is as bad as maybe it was, you know, on social media would claim in the game. But also, I don't know if people gave Jalen Watson enough credit for how good a football he was playing prior to the injury. We all know the story out of camp. Nobody emerged. And Jalen Watson or Nazi Johnson or Josh Williams. And that was, at the time, a conversation. And then Jalen Watson grabbed that job and was playing really, really good football. He's hurt, probably done for the year. And Josh Williams would have been still the guy I would have thought would have, given his size, like in length that he has, I think people expected him to continue to develop. Nazi Johnson is clearly better than he is right now. A lot of the cornerback conversation that you have to just bank on right now is that Spags and Dave Merritt are going to continue to be able to develop that group. And that's what they've done throughout their careers with these young corners.
And now that he's getting snaps in games as a starter.
Listen to what I just said like a minute or so ago. I said Jalen Watson was a big drop-off. 2 years ago, he was no different, honestly, than Nazi Johnson or Josh Williams, and they developed him. Give him credit for working at it, but like,
and they weren't even sure he was the starter in camp. They were kicking around all three of these names.
Yes, yes. So I think there's a chance Nazi Johnson and Josh Williams continue to get better, but that is when you're going down to your third or fourth guy on the depth chart, they're going to be more vulnerable. But I don't think Nazi Johnson is this terrible corner or anything like that, which was seemingly how I think social media was treating it after the game.
Yeah, they were talking it like he was Marcus Cooper in that game. Peyton Manning was pointing at his ass. Or the Philip Gaines stat, you know, we're sitting on the bench, and it's like, Philip Gaines, when targeted today, 11 catches for 230 yards and 3 scores or whatever. Do you remember that, Philip? There was like that stat on the bottom that just makes him look like he got ruined. He got beat sometimes by the second best quarterback in the league.
In crucial situations.
I will say
right?
that.
The third,
yeah.
There was
a lot of third and
third
longs.
Down, when they needed 12 yards, they wasn't about just going after Nazi Johnson. They were going to Amari Cooper, and that's the matchup that we ended up seeing much of the game. All right, coming up next, we're going to get to what's trending, get you caught up on what's going on there, and the comparison that I think you're going to hear more and more about leading up to a potential playoff rematch with Mahomes and Josh Allen.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit bmwusa.com for details.